Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vanderpump Rules Season 10 Reunion Part 1 Wrap-Up Podcast. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me once again is the great trio. First up, Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
Last week I came with a themed drink. This week I had to come with a Bravo-themed drink. Recommended by Mel Got Served. I'm giving Loverboy another chance. We may or may not discuss Summer House, but Haley, it was hard not to mention this when you were mentioning. Anyway, great to be here.
I'm glad for the surprise, honestly.
Tom Sandoval at the reunion.
And speaking of Haley, Haley Strong, how are you?
I am so good. I am so good. I was going to make the Lala joke of like, oh, I wasn't even listening, but I just didn't think I could pull that off effectively.
And lastly, a lot of secrets to be unveiled. So we got behind the secret. Nicole, how are you?
Doing amazing. My blood pressure has gone down since last week. And this week, I'm a little bit more stressed. I'm scared that, you know, we have two more parts of this thing. I'm scared we're not going to get the answers we need. I'm scared that Andy is not going to be like grilling these people enough. And I'm scared that James Kennedy is going to freak out so much that it just keeps derailing things further. I mean, it really was the funeral of Tom Sandoval last night. Cause of death, Ariana, James, and Lala, the trio that never stops. Kind of just like us. Plus you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Allie had a great question she posed in the question doc. Let's lead it with that. It was what and also why. So Allie, what and also why?
Okay. I am, while there is, this is a rare reunion with probably enough to warrant a three-part reunion. I would rather sit here for 4 hours and show me everything that you have in an order that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was pleasantly surprised that I think we dealt with a lot of stuff up front. It wasn't like, before we get to Scandoval, let's talk about Sheena's wedding and whatever. Like, they did cover a lot of stuff that I was interested in. But I don't know, I lost the plot. Like, we're only getting a third of the story. So I feel like we don't have, like, we're going to react here. We're going to react in the second part. And then the third part's going to be apparently when it all falls down. And for what and for what? Like, I feel very mixed about it.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you. Like, I feel like I don't, like, it would be hard for me to describe to you, like, what actually happened in this reunion. I felt like it was mostly just yelling. And yeah, I didn't feel like I received any answer. It was mostly just James shouting. And I have to respect the crowd doing literal boos. whenever the Toms tried to talk, but it did feel like it felt like we were warming up, and it would have almost been more effective if they're like, hey girlies, we're just gonna give you all three parts at one time. And I think all of us would have been fine with it.
I would watch an 8-part reunion at this point. Like, put everything out on the cutting room floor, not a single censor in sight. I want to hear Ariana call Tom Sandoval a rat 100 times in a row. Like, give that to me.
So the format of this one, they teased it as they were going to do these exclusive one-on-ones, where that's where a lot of the talk, where people think is like the whatever the big news development is going to come out of. They're Andy's doing one-on-ones with Tom, with Ariana, and with Raquel. And Annie asked, so far, do you think the one-on-ones were adding anything? Because they start with that. They do like a quick like, hi, hello. And then they work it in a little bit throughout. So Haley, what did you make of these one-on-ones that were kind of the start of the reunion and then a little clips throughout?
I feel like it didn't give us anything except, I would say, like, maybe the tiny bit that had any relevancy to what was happening was in the segment when Andy was asking Tom Schwartz, like, when did you find out? And he said, like, August. And Tom Sandoval was like, what, man? What, dude? And then we, like, flash back to Tom's individual interview. He was like, yeah, Tom Schwartz found out in like January. So it's like really frustrating knowing that Tom Sandoval did his whole sit down interview lying to Andy. So it's like, there's like nothing that's going to come from that interview that's going to be like A, interesting, B, relevant, because we already know that he's lying throughout it. Like, there's no honesty there.
Tom Sandoval lying, what else is new? Like, no, a narcissist is not a narcissism, you know?
And like, that's fair. But then I also feel like I'm not getting anything particularly new from Ariana's segment, because I did, please forgive me, Lord, watch the Call Her Daddy interview, all 2 hours of it.
Shame.
Like, I hope I have some good karma in the universe that like really balances out me spending the 2 hours to listen to that. So I feel like I'm not going to get anything new from there. And then if what Ariana says is true is and that like Tom has been coaching Raquel the entire time, I feel like I'm not going to get anything new from her interview too, unless she's like really dumb, which is like very likely from her, but also she loves to script everything she says. And so it's possible we're just like not going to get anything new from these interviews. And honestly, I was excited for those, but I really think that like when the panel is there, that's when we're going to have people's feet held to the fire and have the most interesting content.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was excited for the one-on-ones because I thought there was something different to do for a reunion. But the point of the reunion is to bring everyone together and talk about it. And I feel like this is where I didn't feel it during the finale, and I didn't think I was going to feel it during the reunion. But all the preseason interviews, I don't even know what you would call it, all the Watch What Happens Live, all the podcasts, I really feel like it's taken a lot of the steam out of these one-on-ones with Andy. Because all the things that Andy's going to ask, I feel like we've already heard from Ariana probably like 50 times.
I have dedicated 2 months of my entire life to Scandaball.
Yeah.
So at this point, there is nothing new I am hearing because yeah. I have scrolled through every single Reddit thread about it.
I need to see them interacting. I want to see more like people calling out the lies in the moment, not just like Sandoval being able to spin his own story. So I feel like the one-on-ones are not going to bring much outside of Raquel, just because we haven't heard from her really at all. So that's the one I'm excited for a little bit. But the Tom and Ariana ones, I just don't see what they're going to bring, Allie. I don't know if you have the same sentiment that we all have.
I agree. I mean, I think the biggest, you know, person, the only person whose perspective we really haven't heard is Raquel's. Not that I care about hearing her perspective, but like that is sort of the missing piece. And we still didn't get that in this episode because of honestly the restraining order that I forgot about. That's how old this like actual timeline feels. For me, the real takeaway from the interview, the one-on-one, and really my overall takeaway from the whole reunion was like Tom Sandoval not only like scripted this out, and this isn't a hot take, just like it all kind of clicks here for me, where like he scripted all of this out to the point where in the Andy interview, he's like, I even told your producer that Ariana and I weren't being forthcoming with our relationship, and I feel guilty about that all of a sudden. And then they cut to like August or September 2022. And it's like, yeah, because you were already fucking Raquel. I don't know, I whispered that. You were already smashing Raquel. And now you're like planning the unraveling. And I'm like, what is he doing here? Why is he still lying to Andy, as Haley said? And it's really, I think, because nothing has ever not worked out for Sandoval. He's cheated on all of his significant others and they've bitten the bullet for him. The Kristen thing, I thought back to that and it's like he got off cheating on Kristen and moving right into a relationship with Ariana that he lied about, Scott effing free, and became one of the best couples or the most beloved couples on Vanderpump Rules over like two seasons after that, you know? And like built this and like still got the deal, spinoff deal with Lisa, and still got the like part of her cocktail book and all of this shit. And it's like,
not the cocktail
book. He really thought he was going to get away with it. And also, I think we're seeing Tom still think in this reunion that he can justify and he can spin and he can still salvage it. And it's like, bruh, you got after 42 years. You are not salvaging this.
Yeah. I also feel like because Ariana had so much goodwill in the 9 years of their relationship, we just trusted that Tom wasn't that shit. But now, like, without Ariana, we are realizing, like, how shit he is. And I think I don't know where she said it, but I thought it was an interesting point where she said, you know, usually Tom had her as a sounding board to kind of talk through things with, and he no longer has that. So he is sounding more and more unhinged than ever before.
And I think... I was going to say, the thing that is very striking, I feel like Sandoval is very trying to be strategic with his planning. Like, even that clip you mentioned, Ali, of him going to producers, that was, I think, they timestamped it as September. So, that, like, I think in his head, he was like, I'm going to start laying the groundwork for them to, like, show this clip. And it made me think of, it was an old reunion clip a few seasons ago when Stassi was coming back to the group. And she was, like, talking about how she went to Schwartz and Schwartz was crying, and that was kind of like her in to get back in. And Sandoval thought that was like a strategic move by her part because she found the weakest person and wanted to go in. And Stassi called her out. I was like, actually, no, like Schwartz is just the person I'm closest with. I don't like think things through like that. The people that think people think things through like that are the ones that would do that. And it really made me think, like, Sandoval, he said already, he's had like a master plan of how to come forward. I think the master plan has like been in the works for like 6 months, basically, of how to spin this to make Ariana look bad. And he just didn't expect it to blow up how it did in March, because that threw everything off. But I think he had some level of a plan to make Ariana look bad, and things just went horribly wrong.
Of course, of course. He's like allergic to telling the truth. Like, he'll do anything but just like break up with someone. Like, you want to be the good guy so bad. He thinks that we love them. We love them as a couple because of him. Mm-hmm. No, it's because of Ariana. Like, once you step outside of yourself for a second and maybe come to terms with the truth, like even like the way he was able to switch his emotions on a dime from putting on those crocodile tears to going full putting himself together and trying to make a rational apology. Oh, there's just so many things with him where it's like, I want to shake him and be like, telling the truth is not like going to poison you. It's actually going to set you free.
Mm-hmm. And the difference to me too, between the Kristen part and the Ariana part of like why this is being received so much worse. Obviously, like, Kristen didn't have the audience on her side, and she did things that were probably more vile than Tom at that time. And
she's Kristen.
Yeah, and like, he can't appreciate that that wasn't just like, I'm Teflon, I'm amazing. And then I also think the difference is like, to sit at that reunion, the first reunion when Tom and Ariana were together and were fighting with Kristen, it was like, I didn't like Ariana at the time, but I could see they were a legitimate couple. And it's sort of hard, like, I was just talking to my friend about this the other day or something in real life. It's like, once a couple is like really gonna be together, you sort of have to move on. And if Tom were coming to the table, like, I am disgusted with myself and whatever, but like, I just fell in love and it's worth it. And it's horrible that I had to hurt someone I love. Like, he'd still be vile. But I do think if he were standing by this relationship and ashamed of himself, but threw it all away for true love, that's something we could maybe get a crumb of understanding or something. He's just sitting there beating Ariana and being like, well, you, everything I did was because you weren't having sex with me, or we were platonic, or whatever. Nothing he's saying is about how he feels about Raquel, because none of it has anything to do with how he feels about her. And that was so obvious from Raquel, literally hoping to get information and validation from Tom by listening to his reunion answers in the freaking trailer 100 yards away.
And yeah, the fact that it's so not genuine, right? That's what happens from the jump. The first thing he starts saying is like Nicole, you said, the crocodile tears of some bullshit apology of like, or thanking people for being there for Ariana. And everyone just like jumped on it immediately. Like, that's bullshit, boo, hiss, shame. And it's like, from the jump, they're like, no, we're not falling for this. And that's why, like, again, these one-on-one interviews are not going to hit as well. I need to see Lala and James and Ariana and Katie just getting on him and not letting it just kind of bypass through an interview with Andy.
Going back to the Raquel, like, looking for validation in Tom's bites, at one point they kind of said, like, yeah, in January, Tom and I were so good. We were intimate so many times. And you just see Raquel be like, I didn't know that. Like, Tom was cheating on me. Like, girl.
Duh.
Cheating on me with his girl. With
face crack of the century.
So angry. This whole thing, I was just getting, I was getting annoyed because it just felt like, Tom, you've already sewered yourself so much. Just be honest with us. We know what you're saying is not true, and everyone can prove it. So what's the point? What is the point of lying more?
Sorry,
can I ask? I was going to ask Nicole, because I'm always like, well, TikTok Nicole has her finger on the pulse, but Haley's been studying this, so is Brian. So all three of you, that's why you're here. Can we just fast forward to the future for a second? Because I know last week we touched on the news drop that was supposed to sort of like bury the finale, that Tom and Raquel have broken up. And I think everyone was like, no, they haven't. That's so calculated, whatever. But then I think in the last week since we've spoken, Tom has been seen with this new blonde woman who then deleted all of her social media. Like, do we think they're still together or not?
I think Raquel thinks they're together.
Oh, pain. I agree. Yeah, it's just really not looking good for Rack and Tom.
Not Rack.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe in a few months they'll try to pick things up. I think they'll definitely try not to be seen in public right now together if they are trying to like keep a facade. But like maybe in the summer they'll be at some mutual events and that's when things will start happening. But yeah, I think they're trying to keep up a fakeness of them not being together. But I think like we talked about, I think the best thing they could do is just be together. I think that's the most way to save face for both of them. I think especially for Tom. But I think if you just be together, the fact that they're not together almost makes things even worse.
Yeah, you broke it up for why? For what?
Yeah, I'm now a breakup truther. Like, I think they're broken up now.
Ooh, go back.
Like, I don't think Tom even likes her. Like,
I agree with you, Allie. There's no way Tom likes Raquel as Raquel. He loves.
She's so cool. You got to get to know her.
Compared to what?
He has galaxy lights.
He loves that she was obsessed with him, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you're a narcissist, those are the kinds of things that get you off. It's crazy. He loves Raquel's dog more than he loves Raquel. You could just see it. The way that dog jumped on him, like he was trying to hump his leg. I'm like, if you gave any of that energy to Raquel, maybe I would believe that this was worth something. But you broke it up for nothing. And that's, like, even sadder looking back. While Ariana's cashing in every second of the day, selling
baby girl
hamburgers in the hot drive-thru. Yeah.
Raising Cane's money.
Oh, that's chicken. Excuse me. I'm fast food illiterate.
So I have a question about that. Here. So Ariana doing every interview under the sun, getting every ad under the sun.
She met Whoopi Goldberg, for God's sakes.
Whoopi. We live in a very hot and cold society, and I feel like there is going to be a pushback against her. Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
Honestly, I think it's starting to turn a little bit, but I think Ariana's really smart in taking every brand deal she can get before that happens. She knows it's going to happen. She's been in this cycle for a long time. She knows it's going to happen. So she is trying to pad her bank account as much as possible before that happens. And I think she might have gotten, she's run into the most trouble she has so far. And that was her with her, sorry, I'm not American. We have different banks.
SoFi?
SoFi, yeah. Weird choice.
I was not sure if it was SoFi or Sophie. That brand deal where they're kind of like, she kind of had like the, I'm dipping out. That started to feel like a little, like that was a little bit of the turning point, the kind of misleading of like, oh, everyone's supporting me moving out, even though I'm not really moving out. But again, I have to support her making as much money while the iron is hot as possible to get out of that house. And then she can just live her quiet life in the French countryside.
Period. She's definitely up at least a mil at this point. And like, keep going, girl. Get that bag.
200K on merch for a sandwich shop alone. That's not crazy even open. That they dropped that figure on the reunion. Like, I'm shocked they answered that question, frankly.
But that was back in, I mean, that was, you know, 2 months ago now or 6 weeks ago. So it's probably even more than that at this
point.
Feels
like my whole life at this point.
Lala said that her Send It to Daryl sweaters paid for her down payment in Palm Springs.
Jesus. I need to fuck my best friend's boyfriend.
No, you need your best friend to fuck your boyfriend.
Yup.
Yeah, wrong.
Don't
be the Raquel.
I love you. Do not fuck your best friend's boyfriend.
I'm good.
Can we talk about the living situation? Because that was definitely a topic that then like Lala got involved in. And I don't know, like, how this asset's going to be distributed or anything like that. I can understand why Ariana would not want to vacate the home. But it really hit me when Lala said, like, you can't get them to stay home. And then the shit hits the fan and then you can't get them to leave. And I know LVP chomped on this and, like, they diverted the topic. But, like, because she said dangerous. That is dangerous and so controlling and so true. I was like, wow, that hit, not like technology.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I also like it kind of like I felt it in like my bones when she said that. It was harsh.
I mean, it was very similar. Not to, again, I've been doing a lot of Vanderpump reunions rewatches, but it brought back when Jax cheated on Brittany. And he wouldn't leave the apartment while Brittany was going through that. Mm-hmm. Sandoval said, like, that's so gross. How do you not just, like, leave the apartment? And here it's like, I mean, this is even 10 times worse. Like, how do you not just, like, leave the home, go to Schwartz's, go to a hotel, go to Joe's, go to wherever. Like, get out of Ariana's way for at least like the initial way. Maybe after like a week or two when the dust settles, you could try to go in and out and work things out. But like, the fact that he wouldn't leave right away is just so gross.
Cut that clip for TikTok, Brian. 10 million views. Okay, I haven't seen that like comparison being made.
All right, making my note. Got it. What about the looks? I know we can get back into more of the details.
Yes.
We always did the reunion looks. I'm very confused about Ariana because I thought the one-on-ones were the same day, but she very clearly had a different outfit for the one-on-one with Andy.
Different hair, too.
Raquel's makeup gave it away, though.
Yes.
Well, Raquel with the blazer, that looked like she was like one of those HR, like sexual harassment training.
Court reporter, like, yeah.
I'm going to sue myself right here. I like Raquel's outfits. Just across the board, I like Raquel's outfits. I do. I'm sorry.
Okay, wait. Tonight or all the time?
All the time.
But okay, but her green
revolve dress.
Yeah, I like it. But her, I love the mint green. I like that she has a color and she sticks to it. I'm fine with it.
No, Ariana wore that color last season. That's
I know. It's a great color. She should wear it too. Everyone should wear it.
She does not have a color. Okay. Here's my question about that. Her outfits for this portion, the interview portion, the pageant interview with Andy, and then oh my god, what an important delivery. I would marry him. Kelly's husband just entered with some wine. It was like maybe you texted him. It felt very unsolicited.
I did text him.
It's like Haley rang a little bell and gave him some rosé. So her outfits, though, and then the green dress, which I think is a very fine dress for her situation. Like, she's, to me, wearing what she should be wearing at this reunion. But to like this, I feel like the person who likes this wouldn't like the insane things she's worn in the past. That's why I'm, like, getting all over you.
I will say the only... I did not like the Swiffer dress.
Did anyone like the Swiffer dress?
No. I appreciate... And I would say this about, I appreciate the risk. It's not something I would choose. And I would say that for like Katie's outfits a lot of the time. I don't like them, but I appreciate that she has taken a risk.
She's trying. And that's so sweet.
I appreciate that people just go like, yeah. Or even like Stassi, remember that like fur and lace number?
That was unique.
I appreciate that she took a risk.
Yeah, not just being jellyfish this week.
Not to be all whatever about people's position on the show, I just thought, what if a housewife wore like some of the past things Raquel has worn, I'd be like, oh, work, like that's crazy, fun, risk. When you're like girlfriend of James, who's friend of, like, dress appropriately. Like, I just felt like it was just not Vanderpump. It was not within the Vanderpump Rules universe, and it certainly wasn't within her role. But these looks tonight, I agree that she wore what she was supposed to wear. It's like a dress any girl could wear tomorrow. It didn't feel like special, but it was fine.
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick rundown of all of the outfits, and I hope people don't mind that I'm just like taking this over. Ariana's Please. Obviously looked fabulous. Slay. I wish it was a bit better tailored.
Agree.
Especially in the arms. I thought it was a little looser in her shoulders. Katie's.
Can we go person by person, or you want to run through everything?
No,
and then...
Yeah, no. Please.
The tailoring. The only thing to Ariana's point, and I'm sure you guys heard this. Apparently, like, Ariana had looks pulled, and then the news broke, and then she's pivoted to this like intentionally. And not that you can't. I mean, you know, we've seen better tailoring happen same day on Love Is Blind. So, you know, but I agree. it seemed like a last minute switch.
She looked gorgeous, though. I mean, you could play like a symphony on her abs. It's basically a xylophone. Slip. And that color on her skin, amazing, with her icy blonde hair. Like, if someone screamed at me in that outfit, I would be eviscerated. I would melt to the ground like a witch in the Wizard of Oz. So, amen, Princess Diana, who Ariana wishes. I mean, not Ariana wishes. Ariana slayed Princess Diana.
Brian, what's your fashion input?
I thought Katie looked great. Katie looked very good.
I think Katie looks the most gorgeous.
Yeah, I think this is the best Katie's like ever looked. She's like glowing.
Yeah, Katie is gorgeous.
It's the post Schwartz glow.
And like her eyeliner looked really fabulous. I wanted her, and she has put it out there that like you have to have a reunion dress that like you can sit well in. And I do think this dress looked good sitting. But because she's so beautiful, I wanted something like super, and I feel like we never get this from Katie. Like figure like form to figure. Like we never get that like really like hourglass silhouette from Katie. And I think that would look so stunning on her. But her face is like her face was perfection.
Gorgeous. But the outfit was giving loofah. I just got to be real with that.
I didn't like this dress. I think she looked beautiful. I think everything you just said, Haley, I agree with. It's probably a dress I would have chosen for the occasion to sit for 10 hours in front of people. Mm-hmm. Like it was definitely functional, but it was like to like a 5 out of 10 dress. And I think she bumped it up to like a 7 out of 10 look.
I would have respected Sheena even more if she just kept those fuzzy slippers on the entire time. I know you're not standing, so it's not as big a deal, but I think that would just been a bit of a boss move.
Sheena just gets better like every season. Like I can't believe she's the same person that is the person in that wore a crop top wedding dress, you know?
She's
evolved.
I will stand by that crop top wedding
Me
dress.
Me too. Thank you, Haley. Yes.
It was of the time. It was and the place for it.
I recently rewatched the episode. I still think it looks fantastic. The only tacky thing about that outfit to me was the veil. And the headband, I will accept that dress. And I think it still bangs.
I like James Kennedy's hair.
Haley needs to take us through, Brian. I stepped on Haley wanting to go through. And now you're hosting the fashion segment. Back to Haley.
James Kennedy, I thought, looked very classic and nice. And here, I thought that it was like hard for the guys to screw it up, but Tom Schwartz showed me it was possible. James, I thought it was nice. I thought his color contrast of his outfit was more interesting than I feel like we usually get from the men on these shows.
I think Tom Schwartz failed on the t-shirt to me because he wore like a too thick t-shirt. It was not the kind of t-shirt that you wear under a suit when you're wearing a t-shirt under a suit like James was doing. Otherwise, to me, none of the men were really standouts.
I don't think Sandoval looked terrible.
I don't think he looked that bad. I don't know. He looked like himself.
He looked
like himself.
I like Tom Schwartz's glasses. I thought those were cute.
Oh, I could do too, actually.
I could have used a single collar under a suit jacket. Also, I did see on Reddit, and I know I've been sending you guys a lot of Reddit threads lately, but I did see on Reddit, like there was a scene of like Tom Sandoval kind of like putting his hand up, and you could see like the tag still in from Zara on his suit jacket.
He doesn't have a wife to cut it off for him. How would he know?
He doesn't have the money to not return it. Yeah. No one's dressing him for this.
Clearly.
And then Lala, so I'm going to send you guys in the private chat the Instagram link because I listened to Lala's podcast this morning and she does something interesting, which is like the podcast comes out on Wednesday morning talking about last week. I kind of like it. So she talked about the dress is that she was between. And so I sent you guys an Instagram link. And so she was really wanting to wear this red dress with the cutouts, but they said, obviously like Ariana gets a red dress with cutouts. And she's like, sure. There's a couple other dress options, including the one she chose. And honestly, the one she chose is my least favorite of them. I thought the dress with her makeup, was interesting, but it was too harsh with the dress. I prefer, if you guys go to the Give Them Lala podcast Instagram page, you can see the post. I prefer like the black one with the little bit of cutouts or even like the bustier one with like the jewels better than the one she wore.
The one she wore was giving like drag queen at like their first pageant. Like, I hate to say it. The cheetah print was kind of tacky.
It could have been all cheetah print. I think I would have liked better. It could have been black with cutouts. I think I would have liked it better. But just with the makeup and the dress, it was giving more than I am looking for. And I'm happy for Lala to do this. I also am dying for Lala to go to brunette.
Me too. Oh, it would just complement her skin and her features so well. It reminds me of Miley Cyrus, like just people that have the complexion for that dark hair.
I just think that this like really light blonde is washing her out more than I would love.
Whereas Ariana is like a true blonde.
Yes.
Ariana is the blonde girl.
And that red dress is very similar to what Ariana wore. Or maybe they all should just wore it together as like a sign of solidarity. They all just wore the same type of dress. That would be pretty funny. But
oh my God, imagine they all just come out with like straight up abs. That would be a huge departure for Katie. But like, hopefully in season 11, we see her you know, going full Ariana on these styles.
What about Lisa?
Oh my God, Lisa. She's never going to give up that pussy bow. And those pink but tailored shirts. Oh, terrible. I mean, Lisa's iconic for a reason, but I feel like she's got to, you know, get a new stylist at some point, especially now that she's under fire. Like, the cast of Vanderpump Rules is slowly turning against her. You could see the tide kind of shifting tonight.
She was crazy. Needs to come
back, yeah, with like a fresh new style. She needs something to stand on. I mean, defending Tom Sandoval is never a good look. So might as well double down and get yourself a nicer physical look while you're doing something that's kind of emotionally ugly by defending Tom Sandoval.
What did you make of the order of everyone coming? Unless, Haley, I don't know if you had anyone else to go over. What about the order?
Oh, Sheena. We forgot about Sheena.
Oh, she looked gorgeous. What can we say? She's good as gold, clearly.
I want her to stick to no extensions.
Yeah, the extensions were very obvious. She looked great last week when she was rocking that bucket hat. Like, even though she was crying her eyes out, like, that short little bob on her with the bucket hat was so cute. Sheena invented bucket hats. But, yeah, the extensions were pretty obvious. She looked gorgeous, though. I can't say nothing.
I just think she's so beautiful with short hair.
She has the face for it. She's got great bone structure.
I am just like a short hair lover. Like, I am like Tom Sandoval. Is like, I want all of them to have short hair.
No, literally. Wait.
Well, this was when Brock did it. I didn't realize this was when Brock cut his hair off the day
Brock
before the reunion.
Is 15 years younger with the short hair.
How about Sandoval trying to like buddy up to Sheena right away? When she said like, "Oh, Brock cut his hair," he's like, "Oh my God, really?"
I hated that. Sandoval so skis city.
No, for real. Why is he trying to talk to Brock, who clearly like does not want anything to do with you?
I know.
So we had everyone come in one at a time. I don't know if they typically do that. I mean, I guess this is like a different, but they had everyone come in one at a time and had everyone seated before Sandoval got there. Did you like that?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
What about you?
Does someone have time to warm up and, you know, begin their crap talking nice and early?
So, I mean, should we get into some of the non-scandal stuff? Like, they talked a little bit about Schwartz and Katie.
If we must.
I was curious if they were actually going to discuss, like, anything at all from the entire season other than scandal. So I think it was good that they kind of did it from part one. I think that's probably the right move. So, I mean, it was a lot of the similar stuff about Schwartz still, like, just not seeing eye to eye with Katie about the friends rule. Obviously, anytime Sandoval tried to jump in on that, that went horribly wrong. Anything new that Schwartz dug his grave in further for you? Okay,
really quick. I was gone. I'm back. Yeah, literally, I was on my iPad, so, like, following that link for some reason, like, deleted me. And you might have already said this. I have to just say that. I mean, Andy with the read of the night, did you talk about what Andy said about her dress?
Mm-mm.
The fact that Andy was like, also, I had to go to my headphone mic now because everything just literally effing blew up. It was crazy. All my apps were closed and I could still hear you guys. It was like I was trapped in the podcast and I couldn't get out.
Sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Hell.
If you roll up to an event and someone says to you, wow, you can pull that off. That is saying you have an ugly dress and I'm stunned that you're wearing it. But I did think it was giving like Lisa Frank like dreams. And I did think she pulled it off. Anyway, that's really it. Back to what you were saying about Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
Sorry, so it's just sucking.
No, we needed that point made. We needed it. Schwartz. Yeah. So Schwartz, again, doesn't see eye to eye with the friend stuff. I mean, again, this is something I feel like we saw this almost the entire season. This would have been probably the main topic of this reunion if this reunion was done two and a half months ago. But anything that Schwartz could have that did differently or any new revelations that you guys picked up on from Schwartz there?
You mean with Katie or you mean?
Yeah, with Katie. We're trying to like, with the Katie's, the non-scandal stuff with Katie and the make out with Raquel and things like that. I feel like, I don't know. For me, I didn't pick up anything new. I feel like, again, this was like the entire season before all this stuff. But, Al, did you pick up anything else?
So, I mean, to not answer your question, I was not impressed, but I was at least nooch to how Tom Schwartz handled the Sandoval part in that he does seem willing to be slightly more honest. And we'll get to the snowboarding trip because that I feel like is unresolved. Yeah. But I thought like, well, maybe Tom Schwartz's lie on the timeline is to help. Sorry, Sandoval's lie is to help Schwartz. I don't really know. I thought Schwartz was like, no, I knew then. I remember exactly when it was. I knew on the glamping trip. That's why I said what I said. Like, I think at least his story makes sense which is the bare minimum. From the Katie stuff, all I can think is, like, men will really, like, lose their entire lives and do no self-reflection. I think there's a possibility that in 5 years, Schwartz can maybe have, like, slightly more understanding of what occurred. But, like, he's a massive red flag for anyone who would be in a relationship with him right now, because he's given no thought to what ended his marriage.
It's sad. Yeah, it's great to see Katie kind of like living in her redemption era right now. It's just really sad to see that Tom Schwartz can be on this earth for 40 years and has no idea why his marriage ended. Like, I know I'm just reflecting.
Oh, it's the bar, obviously.
Oh, it's just, no, it's the bar. It's my family, you know, it's just so sad. But then you'll go around and dog her out for like a cheeseburger and a side of fries. It's quite frankly ridiculous. Like, of course, I believe that the timeline that Tom Sandoval was setting up was to vindicate Schwartz. Like, of course, like, he's clearly in love with him more than he's ever loved any woman, both of them. It's codependent mess right there. And I think Tom Schwartz just was silly enough to mangle it. I mean, even Lisa Vanderpump called him an idiot tonight. I don't know if he was smart enough.
He was more willing to defend Joe than Katie.
Who's spooky.
Than his wife and partner for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Like, this just shows you who this guy is.
What I love was him getting very upset that James did the thing that he didn't do for 12 years, which was stand up for Katie, which is incredible given their history. But James was the one like, that's mean. Don't say that to Katie. This is my friend. I love seeing James defend Katie. And Schwartz couldn't do that once.
Katie got James fired from CERT, and he is still willing to go to bat for her. Mm-hmm. More than Tom Schwartz was as her literal husband. Do you think Tom Schwartz would have brought Katie wine during a podcast? No, James would, though.
Absolutely. I think also with the what you guys are flagging about James and Katie's history is like, I always thought this about Vanderpump Rules, like the fact that Kristen and Stassi ever repaired their friendship, that Jax and Stassi got to a friendly place. Like, there were such real wounds. Even Kristen and Ariana being friends is insane. Like, there were real human wounds, not reality TV wounds, like real wounds. And I think it shows that if you keep people in the same group where they have to, they can't quit their job, they can't, like, people can work through things and shift sides and like evolve relationships. But in the real world, like, Stassi and Jax never would have spoken again. Kristen and Ariana never would have spoken again. Like, James and Sandoval. And we have to talk about that, because that was kind of the first time I think we heard James address like how he feels about the Raquel part. But like, they never would have spoken after James started dating Kristen. So like, it's such an interesting show that forces these people to like evolve to a place where Katie and James find themselves on the same side of the stage.
Yeah. I mean, we can jump to that now, because I mean, if there's any other non-scandal stuff, it'll happen organically, I guess, but it's not as important. But this is another moment where I thought Lisa was on the wrong side of history, where James makes a comment about being like, well, what about me? Like, I'm like your close friend. And Lisa makes a pretty rude comment. Like, it basically said like, no one really cares about you. This is about Ariana. And even Ariana was like, no, they were like best friends. Like, that was his ex fiance. Like, it's still also a very big deal for him. And then Sandoval does the same thing that he apparently did to Sheen on the phone, right? Of being like, we weren't even that close of friends. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, he spent thousands of dollars on their engagement. So this was, another example of Sandoval trying to create a narrative that doesn't exist and throw away a friendship or a partner or whoever it might be at the time to the side. And James wasn't going to hear for it. And I love that for him. What did you make of James there?
No, for sure. We just saw James Kennedy crying over Sandoval last week. And crying is something that Tom Sandoval can't do naturally, clearly. And when I saw James crying like that, I really felt for him. Just like we said last week, he's once again like this fallout that nobody ever takes into consideration. And clearly, like, James may think he doesn't have childhood trauma, but he does have his own issues he needs to work through. And then so getting like dicked over like this by someone he trusted is really terrible and sketchy and would give me a boatload of trust issues. And might I add, James Kennedy, like, he was looking good tonight. Like, I don't remember what he was wearing when we were talking before. I just remember every time he raised his voice at Tom Sandoval, I was like, ooh, why is he really is the number one guy in the group right now.
James, I think, is the second biggest winner from this entire thing happening, because James was already, his stock was already on the rise in terms of his popularity this season. But like the way that he falls squarely on the right side of things to be the only main man on the show on the right side of things, I think is a really powerful position for him.
Early and, on, too. Like he was against Raquel early.
Well, yeah. But his reasons for being against Raquel aren't like pure, but I think also like I perceived their breakup as thank God Raquel got away from James and now like she's really going to thrive. And this incident has now reversed that narrative where James seems really mean to her unnecessarily at certain times. Now it seems necessary, even though it's not because of this, but like, mm-hmm. I think he comes away a big winner.
The ends justify the means with being mean to Raquel. And the worst part is like, not even a year ago, I wasn't really on the side of James and Raquel. I thought they were holier than thou. But the fact that they're right, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I got to give them props. Like they kind of were on the right side of history.
James and Lala were quite the tag team. I feel like they were setting each other up for like spikes in each other's, like to spike the ball
and send those faces. Muppets. They were the
literally.
Best. Yeah, from the jump, right? Like Sandoval, or after Sandoval's like fake apology, James like, I didn't buy that for a second. Lala's I didn't even listen to it. They were great the entire night. I love that they were paired to sit next to each other on the end a little bit too, so they can kind of make these snide comments to each other without like getting in the way of like Sandoval and Ariana. Getting into it with each other. So yeah, I thought they were big, big winners. And I thought like the comparison, because I think we talked about this last week, where Andy brings up a fair question about bringing up everyone's history of cheating and what makes it different. And I think the point that we're seeing with James and other people is they're all growing. They're all trying to be better people. And Sandoval is not only staying the same, but he's getting worse. Like this is worse than he's ever done before. And I like that was fairly brought up in a reunion. And I mentioned Haley, you got your hand up. Please chime in.
Yeah, sorry. I felt like I've been interrupting you guys and I felt really like embarrassed by it.
No, please.
How do we feel about lumping Ariana in with the cheaters and scoundrels?
Well, given Sandoval's sister, I find it very hard to believe that all they did was make out before they started dating. So my guess is probably more did happen. So it's not like unfair to lump her in a little bit into that category.
Allie, how do you feel?
I think she cheated on, I think I love the characterization of we only made out. Like, let's not let these
the gold nugget
our brains. Mm-hmm. Like if you
not I mean, the gold
if,
nugget.
If it's okay low. With your relationship, then it's okay in your relationship. But like it seemed a makeout seemed to not be okay like within their rules. And so whatever happened between them, I agree. I don't know what you're going to say, Haley, but my first reaction was like, don't call Ariana a cheater, whatever. But I do think it is fairly if like we're applying everybody's issues. She did cheat with Tom on Kristen and then was pretty horrible to Kristen about it. Like right. That, those things are true, but they are not as bad as the crimes mm-hmm. of many others on the stage.
Yeah, do you like believe, I mean, we're going back so long ago, but do you believe that at that point Tom told her that like him and Kristen were like breaking up, it didn't matter?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I could say that at the worst Ariana was complicit, but Tom mm-hmm. Sandoval like lies and lies and lies. Like we are very familiar with that fact. So he probably was lying to Ariana too. Like he must have done something to get her to stay after he admitted that Miami girl was true. Because how else were they going to get their story straight unless he gaslit her so hard that she started believing a new reality? And Ariana would never. But I would say at worst she was complicit.
Then now I have 2 points, and God, if I could remember what either of those points were, that would be great for podcasting.
I'm manifesting for you.
I know one of them was like, can we be a little mad at Ariana for...
I love the start of this take. I'm out.
We're
here.
Starting the tide right now.
Just for like, no. I love Ariana. I feel like I've always been an Ariana girly. But can we be a little mad at Ariana for 10 years of like backing up Tom's lies? Like for what reason did she lie about Miami girl? And I get what she says, like she was starting this relationship with the person she thought she was going to spend the rest of her life with, but why not just say, hey, we weren't exclusive at that point, I know I'm cool. Like was it just that they were in too deep with like the lie? Like I just don't get why, like it would just be it would have made so much more sense just to be like, whatever, I know, but it doesn't matter because we weren't exclusive. And like, I get it.
I think what Tom was trying to say before he was booed, and that's fair, was like Stassi was, or Kristen was making it a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. Like Kristen was never going to let the two of them say it happened and we weren't exclusive and I'm cool with it. And like, right. They are on reality television. So I am I mean, I have friends who don't always tell me like bad things that their boyfriends do because A, not my business, but also like, if you're going to be okay with some sort of negative thing that happened within your relationship, you don't want to put your boyfriend on blast about it. Mm-hmm. And like, they're on television and they had just narrowly escaped or were in the process of escaping a very bad PR situation of what happened between him, Chris, and Ariana. So I get it, but I agree. I can understand someone being mad at her or feeling a little bit negative about it. I had more of the reaction like, I feel bad that she tried to stump for him for 10 years and still had it all blow up in her face.
Yeah. I guess like I'm feeling kind of like a mixture of those things of like, well, if you would have just like, we didn't have to do this for 10 years. And I get why why it happened at the time, but it's like, I'm such a freaking rule follower though. Like I just don't understand like why we couldn't have been like 2 years later, like Kristen, girly girl, they did sleep together. Like, I just don't get why we did that when now it's like,
it's what happens.
I don't know.
Defending your partner in public, especially on a TV show public, I think that's something I would always support. I do think the interesting question, and it is the breadcrumb trail that Sandoval tried to leave of like them not being open about their relationship is
fair. We've always known that.
Like, right, because everyone that goes has back,
always said that.
Yeah, because that's what I was saying. Because that's come back years. Like, Jack, this is something that Jax has said for me. I don't want to make Jax be the source of truth sometimes, but something that he has said for years. That, like,
Sandoval, a broken Ariana, clock is right twice a day.
Right, that they are very open about their relationship. This is a reality show. Like, obviously, Jax has gotten through a lot of shit on the show that his own causing, but like, he's dealt with it on the show. Other people have dealt with a lot of shit on the show, and they've kind of swept it under the rug, seemingly a little bit more than others. And I think that is fair to be upset about them as like a couple, because again, this is a reality show. The point is, we're following their lives, and to, if they were hiding a big chunk of their lives, I do think as an audience we can be a little bit turned off about that.
So that reveal to me was like, or that pitch from Tom, I was like, did anyone think they had a perfect relationship? Like, I didn't feel like any of their problems were reveals. I feel like they constantly had their, not constantly, but like, I felt before the season aware of their lack of intimacy and Tom's complaints about that, or like trying to have sex with her and her not being interested. I felt very aware of how selfish she was when the monster truck thing, when her dad, like her anniversary of her dad's death or birthday or whatever it was, like, I felt like like Ariana didn't want to have kids and didn't want to get married. Tom did. Like, that was a plot point that, like, yes, maybe the fallout wasn't really dealt with. Like, Tom just kind of like accepted it for now. But I never was under the impression that they were some like perfect couple that was in bliss love. I thought they were more normal than they were, but yeah.
Yeah, they have a loveless vibe, or had a loveless vibe, excuse me. Like, you could just feel like their aura. It's like, oh, these people, like, they did have roommate energy.
One of the other potential losers that could come out of this, that I think we're starting to see pushback on in Vanderpump Rules Reddit and TikTok and Twitter, is Lisa Vanderpump herself. I feel like
there is
the narrative now being built that, like,
I feel like it has been built. Happened in this episode was exactly what I expected, and nothing more and nothing less.
We're seeing pushback from the cast that I feel like we haven't really seen before. We're seeing Lala and Ariana both had own separate moments of kind of clapping back at her, basically. I thought the Ariana scene, even more so than Lala, because Lala was just like, I feel like that was just a good one-liner, but the Ariana stuff of like, yeah, she could like do what she wants, but like I'm just not gonna be as close to her. And I think Lisa was like genuinely like hurt and surprised, but also like
good
shocked by that someone would say that to her. But like I think Arya was like, look, I don't care, like I'm over this now, I'm over you, I don't need you, I don't need your approval. And I think that was like surprising for him from Lisa to hear.
Ariana has more power than Lisa Vanderpump right now. And Lisa's not used to that. So she better get used to it because Ariana's getting her bag right now.
I have an unpopular take, I think. So I really felt strongly that Lisa's characterization last week about the Raquel as a temptress, whatever, like was very old school and annoying to me and not accurate. Here, I thought the difference between the P plus version and the regular version, there was one time where Lisa, I forget now what it was, but like Lisa jumped in to help and Lala was sort of like, I mean, she didn't do that, but like Lisa said the right thing. And that was not in the TV version. And I remember thinking like, very weird, like, you know, now I'm going to become like a spinoff truther that they're going to get rid of Vanderpump Rules. They're going to like have a something about her like standalone show or a Swords and Sandys, God forbid, standalone show or something. Because it seems very odd that Bravo is willing to like include negative clips of Lisa on VPR. But I think Ariana changed her answer to the question about how she'll feel about Lisa when she was on with Andy, which was recorded after the reunion. So I think that was maybe a fresh response. Mm-hmm. I think on Watch What Happens Live, she said like, I'll always love Lisa and Ken and I understand. And like, that's the exception perhaps. But I also think like she's just old, you know, like she looks amazing. She's just old. Like when Lala says he's dangerous, like our generation understands emotional devastation and crimes that aren't physical harm as harm and danger. And I think Lisa received that as like he could kill you, you know, and it's like that's old. But like I didn't feel like she was like that bad. But to Haley's point, I also didn't expect her to be this like have this woke feminist perspective and like be on the side against her own business. Like she's a capitalist king. Like so I wasn't like, oh my god, cancel Lisa over at least what we've seen now.
Yeah, she's had a bad look here or there. Like, of course I'm gonna still stand.
I think she is in a really tough position because it is like she is. I don't think she should try and sue her TomTom. That is still her business. Like these are still her partners and I get why she's doing what she's doing. And I thought Ariana's comment was intentionally cutting and intentionally vague, which is like, well, Lisa knows what's good for her. And Andy,
even Andy was like, ooh.
Well, and Andy was like, well, what do you mean by that? And she was like, well, Lisa's been in these businesses for 40 years. She knows her business better than I do. And I was like, girly girl, I know what you're getting to. But it was also like a little thinly veiled of like, well, you know what's good for you. And I do wish that. I feel like Lisa can be very obtuse. Like she is not always willing to take in what other people are saying to her. And I know that because I am near the end of season two of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Real.
And it is hard for her to take in any criticism whatsoever and just apologize. She's never going to reflect like she's she's a millionaire. She's like, what does she have to reflect for? But I do appreciate that for the first time, we do see the VPR cast being like, that's not what I believe, Lisa. And you're not I'm not kissing your ring anymore. And I think that's interesting. It's different.
I have a question.
They don't work at Sir anymore.
No. They don't work at Sir anymore. None of them, including
you're not the boss of me.
Really quick, the biggest reveal for me was that their conflict happened in the back of TomTom, Ariana and Tom's original conflict. And I was like, oh my God, the back of Sir could never.
Right.
Sorry.
So my question, I understand Lisa. So Lisa's why she wants to try to somewhat back the Toms is because of their business relationship. But I thought the one reveal that came out was that she paid back the entire investment that the Toms gave for TomTom. So they just own the percentage, but they don't have any financial partnership anymore.
They're broke.
All the restaurant cat.
So then what exactly is, like, they only own 10% of it. It's like, what exactly is their, like, business partnership still?
I mean, you can recoup your investment and maintain your ownership. Like, that's the point of the investment, right? Is to, like, recoup plus. I just think she paid them probably more than she owed them.
I'm going to be honest. I am too stupid to understand what happened.
That was just just very surprising that they just, I don't think that was revealed, that she just, like, I thought she offered them the money on the show and they said, no, like, that's a last resort. We don't need it.
They got to November 2022 and realized they needed it.
Well, it was phrased differently because on the show, and Brian, you're the finance guy, so I should just shut the hell up, but like, never stopped me before. You on the show, she phrased it like, you can get your money back, and it seemed like it would mean, and you are out now, like, we will buy you out. The way it was phrased through Union was like, I gave them their investment, right? It didn't seem as clear to me as if they were, like, out. I feel like if they were out of TomTom, it would have been, like, a Mario Batali level, like, he has known more financial interest in our bar, and, like he is not involved.
It was just very bizarre.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was just very bizarre, the fact that she was like, oh, here's the money back. Because there was the whole conversation that you could have the money back. I thought originally on the show, she was like, we'll give you your money back, and then if you want, you could buy back in at the same price. That's what I thought was offered, but then it's just like, actually, no, you just take the money back and use it.
Yeah, I do think that was what was offered on the show. And I wonder if here they are just gave them their money back and said, like, you can just, we'll keep your names. Like, they're licensing their names at this point. And I want to give you my coldest take of the episode, and that's that TomTom is a really bad name. And we should just name it something else. And I'm willing to give them the idea for free 99. And one appetizer and cocktail of my choosing if I eventually visit LA. And that's that they should just have it as Pump 2 because they're closing Pump.
I see the vision. I like it.
Just have it as Pump 2.
I remember Katie had a good name for the bar. I don't remember what it was, but I remember she had
I don't trust her naming name. Either, to be honest with you.
Well, I like something about her. Oh, you don't like it? That's
the 200K in merch sales speaks for itself.
Something about her doesn't lead sandwiches, and you guys know I love a sandwich.
I like
that. It's cute, but it's not sandwich.
It's not giving sandwich.
What I like about it is that it abbreviates to SAS. Like, let's go to SAHS, because it's something about her sandwiches. Is
yeah. Like, and I would absolutely buy a sweatshirt with the cute florals with it saying something about her if it wasn't like $70 Canadian plus shipping.
Jesus.
But I don't know. It's not like what I would pick for the sandwich shop. Whatever. I don't have a lot of money, so it's not like I'm going to be investing in this place anyway.
Right. You're a creative consultant.
Yeah, call me. I'm not doing anything else.
The other big hot moment at the discussion, Allie, that you brought up was this ski trip time frame. Can you walk through what you picked up on? What was this time frame that Schwartz was trying to explain that everyone was like, no, that makes no sense?
This was the one frustrating part for me, that when the people were screaming, because Andy never got it back on track to hear that. I needed to hear the Toms at least spin their lies and see what they had to say. But basically, I think what they were generally calling out was like all of these pictures that have now emerged from Joe, Schwartz, Sandoval, and Raquel hanging out as friends before Tom admitted that he was shtupping Joe and before Tom was outed as shtupping Raquel. So they went to, was it Big Bear? I don't know. They went on a ski trip, and it was framed as a double date by, I was going to say the haters, by the audience, the crowd, the allied powers. And Tom Schwartz immediately was like, it was not a double date. I was just going to ski with Tom Sandoval. So what I think Schwartz was trying to say was that he was going to go ski with Tom, and then Joe and Raquel showed up as like orchestrated somehow by Sandoval. Very, very not believable. He was like begging Sandoval to say it wasn't a double date and clear his name. And then James was like, Raquel hates snowboarding, so why would she just be there? She was there to blow the trumpet as Tom does the most extras. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Schwartz is gaining now from today. I think he's just trying to say, like, I was not a cover-up. Like, we weren't all hanging out as a group, but, like, it's documented. Right. You were all hanging out as a group when you knew he he was cheating on Ariana with Raquel. So there's no, like, again, there's no, like, little weaves and bobs. Whether you knew it or you didn't, you stayed. That's what happened.
I don't know if I was out of the loop, but I didn't realize that Tom and Joe confirmed that they were hooking up, like, even though it seems like it was out of convenience. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom Schwartz, well, if he had to try to do anything, he wouldn't be getting laid, so...
It was there.
I think that was the first reveal. Yeah, Short, the first time I ever heard it confirmed.
Yeah, Schwartz said it was they were each other's happy place, which is things that nightmares are made of.
But and yeah, I'm the most sad for Kristen Doty, because it sounds like as soon as Joe weaseled her way into Tom Schwartz's house, she blocked Kristen. And that poor woman, Kristen, she's been through so much. Mm-hmm. First, she gets like really ripped off on her appearance last week and gets like no airtime for all the work she's put in. She's got cheated on by Tom Sandoval. Like, hasn't she been through enough? And now Joe blocks her.
People just use Doty. James used Doty. Joe's using Doty. Stop using Doty. Carter used Doty.
No, not Carter. Leave him out of this. I never want to see that face again. On my television, especially.
I thought one of the funnier moments was all the, I think we kind of touched on this also, but like the cutaways to Raquel in the RV, like her facial reactions. And it was just very, I chuckled every time that I cut to the RV and she was like, they specified exactly 100 yards away. But I'm very excited for Raquel to be in the mix. I do feel like, no offense to Sheena, but like, she's not like, we need to hear a little bit about her side from like that night, but I don't need to hear her trying to defend like herself being on the wrong side of history. Like, you were just on the wrong side of it. Like, we need to move on. Like, we need Rachel. We need Rachel. Or Raquel. We need her both in the mix more than Sheena at this point.
Yeah, we know Sheena's truth. We've been doing it.
To be charitable to that rat, Rachel, you know, obviously they're using facial expressions that are not direct reactions to like what she's necessarily like seeing. Okay, whatever, reality television. But like, judging by what we've seen on television, the most cringe reaction to me was when Tom Schwartz is like kissing Raquel was liberating. And it, again, was not at all about Raquel. It was about like his, like, you know, whatever. And she made like a touched face. Like, she's still seeking validation from her quote boyfriend's best friend in a sexual way. It was like, I've heard rumors that her parents are allegedly going to like try to Katie Holmes her and like control everything she does and not let her be on the show. And like, somebody needs to intervene. Like, somebody has to intervene.
Yeah,
I didn't even conservatorship of Raquel.
That would be something. I didn't even view it. Like, I saw the same thought with that reaction, but to me, it didn't come across as like her being touched. It was like her, like that same level, like weirdness of like, yes, he's choosing me over Katie. Like, it was like that same thing again of like being over. Yeah. But it was like, yeah, but that was like a very odd reaction, but she's an odd girl. So
have you guys seen the TikTok clip that's like an unseen clip of the conversation with Rachel and Tom from the apartment meeting and the finale, where Tom like complains about how like everyone's in the house all the time, and you know, Rachel is like, well, that's really good that she has that support, and Tom is like, but I was never allowed to have parties or have people over. And it's like, oh my god, like, he really, the scary doesn't thing get it. Is that people walk around this world like this, and a lot of people do. Like, he is not, again, like, hat in hand, I know this was bad, I did it anyway, and I'll take my lumps, like everybody else, I think, on the cast when they do crazy things. Like, he really believes what he's saying, and that's the scariest part.
Mm-hmm. Now he's just like, oh shucks, like that's not a response, as he's going around making victim noises constantly. It's terrible. It's very Devin of BB16. He would hate it.
Yeah, the other, I mean, going back to that, the comparisons like people are trying to make to other things, and it's like, the fallout from those were like so extreme. Like, Sandoval's still trying just to kind of like move on and just like make up lies and just be done with it. But like, the fallout of what happened with like Jax and Stassi was like, Jax got punched in the face. Kristen was like ostracized for like 3 years. Stassi's life was like blown to pieces. Like, it took years to repair that. And that was just like a two-time cheating thing. This was like, you know, obviously just to the nth degree. So it's like, I don't know what he was expecting, and Rachel's trying to come in with like hoping for the best. Like, I just don't think either of them are really grasping like everything that's happened still, even as their roles are falling apart. I still don't think they fully understand it to this point. But
slight asterisk on the cheating being what blew Stassi's life apart. But anyway,
right. It was part of the ball unraveling. But yes,
it's giving a lot of like Ariana. Yeah, like it was your actions didn't happen to you.
Right.
I loved that line of like, oh, this happened to me. It's like, no, you chose this. Like mm-hmm. you actively did this.
And that was also giving like the Ariana when she said, you didn't lose, like you lost me. He didn't like however she phrased, like you lost me, you didn't like lose the relationship. I like the self-confidence queen that Ariana has become. Love that. Anything else that we missed from part one? Obviously, part two Satchel is going to be a lot more Rachel. Reveal.
Satchel and Katie broke up.
Yeah, but Satchel, he's got a girlfriend, so they're very happy. Satchel and the new girlfriend, good for them.
Katie needs a man. Like, she needs someone that could beat the shit out of Tom Schwartz. But someone that could.
Katie needs to date a man over 30, and I'm sorry, I am age relationship ageist, but like you need to date somebody over 30, Katie. Please, 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 please.
It's what she deserves. Is there a man,
Nicole, is there a man in the Bravo universe that you could see setting her up with?
That's a good question.
If only Luke wasn't dating Luke from Summer House, well, he's dating Tayshia from The Bachelorette right now. If only that wasn't the case. Because Luke is passed around, but he's hot. Sucks. Who else? Maybe, you know, Joe Gorga when he gets
no man.
Oh my god!
No man. I feel like a Jason, like the guy from Summer House who was with the florist on and off, who's now with Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh my god, Giselle is dating all these guys too. Didn't she date Luke?
Luke's dated everyone.
Dated Luke.
Oh,
like the same season.
Is that Italian guy still dating? The girlfriend for Summer House? Andrea, they're still together?
I was like, you're going to have to be more specific with that Italian guy on Bravo. Like Frank Catania?
that would be a power deal.
Frank, that's a man.
He could beat up Schwartz. That'd be fun.
Oh, for sure.
All right. I think, I don't know, anyone else want to touch on?
Are we going to talk about Summer House?
Well, I have one question first. Sorry. The Palm Springs homes, are those second homes or is that where they live full time now?
I think that's their homes. Yeah.
I think that's
far.
That's like their main residence and they have rentals in LA.
Okay. Because I was like, there's no way they're living full time in Palm Springs. Like, or you mean they rent just for just film? Like,
I think they like rent throughout the year.
What an interesting place to live as a young family. I don't know what the vibe in Palm Springs is, really.
Very arid and dry.
I'm getting Palm Springs fluenced. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's take the show on the road.
Let's all rent out a room at the Trixie Motel. And by all rent out a room, I mean rent out the same room together because I looked up the prices and they are astronomical.
Question about Sheena. I mean, I'm fine skipping the Sheena and Lala segment, unless you guys touched on it when I was breaking down. But Sheena breaks down. Did we talk about like Sheena's sort of reconciliation adjacent moment with Katie?
We haven't talked about it.
We can talk about it. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a reconciliation, but I'm curious. Yeah, what are your? It didn't even seem like from Katie's side it was a reconciliation.
Yeah,
I just don't want to deal with this right now. We'll deal with this when things are calmer.
Yeah, I think Sheena's more reconciled than Katie, and I think Katie is right to want to keep her at an arm's length, and I think Sheena is finally kind of understanding the impact of her, and like, but I do understand Sheena's point of like, I would have done anything for Raquel and she was my number one. And I also understand Katie's point of like, Lala, if I was doing this to you, you would not be thrilled.
People's relationships are different.
Yeah. And that's fair.
It is true that Sheena, like if Sheena were like, you know, suggesting Raquel hook up with Randall, and I know that's different, like Lala would lose her mind and expect everyone to not talk to Sheena. So I agree with Katie there. And I kind of thought Tom Schwartz was kind of shitty for like revealing a conversation they probably had while they were still together. Like, well, you told me blah, 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 or like whatever, but Katie would do it to him. So fine. What struck me about this, and I think it was extended in the P+ version for anyone who's like any listeners are wondering about the differences, but I don't exactly remember, is like, so Sheen is choosing to say, Raquel told me you were horrible to her, so I believed her, but then watching it back, you weren't that bad. Katie was horrible to her, but it was justified because of what Raquel was doing. So I don't really think Sheena's argument holds together, but I respect that she's totally sort of groveling about her position with Raquel to everyone else. The one thing I will say for Sheena, and she's never been my like ride or die on the show, she's never been my fave. She's taken a lot on the chin from this group, and she comes back, she gets punched in the face, and she gets back up. She's like the bopper clown who, like, you punch her and she gets back up. And, like, I don't really think Katie has such a leg to, like, when Katie dresses her down and is like, I have to see changed action and I have to see that. I'm like, girl, you're forgiving James Kennedy who treated you horribly. Like, let's get real about this. Like, I don't know. I thought Katie didn't look amazing there. But it'll be interesting to see how this goes with Sheena's like full 360-180 on trying to get back on Katie's good side.
I genuinely believe for the first time that Sheena, like, this situation has had a vast impact on how she is going to move within this group.
I hope so, because I think that's like the big knock on Sheena is like, and it's been talked about by the cast a lot, that she doesn't really have loyalty to anyone. Like, she has loyalty to everyone, so she doesn't really have loyalty to anyone because she's like goes with the wind. She just kind of moves around and doesn't really have like the truest friends. She tries to just keep everyone her close friends. So I'd be curious, because I know Sheena has said like, oh, Sandoval's like dead to me. Like, I'm sorry, to me there's a non-zero chance 12 months from now Sandoval and Sheena are like seen hanging out together, and it's like they moved on, because that's just been Sheena's history. She has forgiven people, she has gotten back with friends that she said are dead to me. And until I kind of agree with Katie, until I see differently, I'm gonna expect that at some point Sheena will be the weak link for Sandoval to wedge his way back into this group at some point.
But none of these people have ever been good friends to Sheena. Ariana is the only mainstay friend on the show in Sheena's life. Like, I know Sheena has other friends, but like, none of the other people have ever been her friend. So I think her floating is because she needs airtime. She needs people who will film with her. And so it's sort of whoever is willing to engage with her at this moment. In this case, it was Tom Schwartz. Fine, then he's my best friend and I care so much about him. Like, I think she has a lot of love to give. She just isn't well received, and by me either. I would be shocked if she ever crossed the picket line. I mean, like, I've been shocked. I've been shocked this whole time. But Ariana, to me, is her only actual friend on the show. And so that would be not just her being weak. That would be like a Sandoval level betrayal to me, because that would be like throwing your best friend under the bus for clout.
Yeah, that would be whack.
Whack. Do we want to get to, we can get to Summer House?
I'm too emotionally exhausted to discuss Summer House, but I'll listen to you guys discuss it.
It's deeply nuanced. Like, I don't have like the woman in gender, the studies degree to be able to talk about this.
No, but I agree with you, Nicole, but also I have watched all seven seasons of Summer House in a very short amount of time. And I am willing to say that Lindsay has never been a good friend to anyone. And she's, I would also not want to be friends with Lindsay, but I can understand in this instance when Danielle is trying to make their little girl engagement about herself. That's tough, but I think Lindsay also refuses to listen to what anyone else's opinion about anything is, and that has been absolutely proven over the last seven seasons.
I mean, it's been working out for her so far. She got the guy that couldn't be pinned down. Like, you, if that were me, you probably couldn't tell me anything. Like, clearly things are going well. But I am going to tune in for the reunion because I really want to hear Paige yell at Lindsay for not having a job. I think that would be kind of funny.
The one thing I'll say after saying I wouldn't talk about it is, like, I had a massive friendship breakdown during the worst period of my life, like, 8 years ago. And so a lot of this I'm bringing in my own, like, specific and like situation with friendship disillusions, whatever. One thing I said then that I have used many times that I feel applies in this situation is, like, Danielle deposited into their friendship bank account regularly, consistently, and with huge sums at great expenses. And then she drove up this summer and said, I need to make a full withdrawal of all of the goodwill that I've earned to get through this me actually doing a bad thing. Danielle did a bad thing with their engagement for sure, like a very bad thing. But she basically was like, I need to make a withdrawal of all the goodwill I've built up and hope that you forgive me. I mean, she didn't say it like that. And Lindsay was like, oh, sorry, we've closed your account. And that to me is the crime, is like Danielle has been such an unwavering, steadfast, good friend to Lindsay at her own expense. Like, I've never liked Danielle more than when she's on the other side of Lindsay. Danielle is very unlikable when she's riding for Lindsay. And she has chosen to do that time and time again. And Lindsay cut her without a tear, without a thought, without a care.
With a smirk.
And like, maybe she's being defensive and is never going to be the woman who's like, I love you and you hurt me so badly that I can't get over it. But I think she is using this and is like ready to cut Danielle, had already been a shitty friend to her and was like, I don't need you anymore. So now I can say you did a bad thing and cut you. And that's probably my own projection, much like Danielle.
But was Danielle ever apologizing? Like, I don't think that scene ever happened. Like,
neither of them apologized when they both did something not cool.
What did Lindsay do wrong this summer? To me, I thought Lindsay was actually like the most rational she's been. She kept trying to give Danielle chances to apologize, and Danielle would keep doubling down on like, you guys are moving too fast, all this other stuff. Like,
it was projection.
It wasn't just the summer. I feel like it was like an amalgamation of things. I think it was like partially, I think, leaving Danielle in the dust, and because we didn't see Lindsay and Carl come together on screen, really, that like it just, they kind of just came together and pushed Danielle out and was like, oh well, we have each other, so we don't actually need Danielle anymore. And she was just been like hurt about that for a few months.
But I never got the vibe that they were both like, oh, we don't need Danielle anymore. I just thought like Danielle, like Lindsay's like being in a relationship with Carl is like much different than like Carl was going through a lot. Like, he's trying to be sober. He had a lot going on. Like, she had to devote a lot more of her focus to make sure his headspace was good. And Danielle, like, making Lindsay feel bad about making changes in her life, even going back to that when she was like, I don't want to go out to drink with you. I'm going to hang back with my boyfriend. Like, make sure he's doing okay. Like, that's like, and she was like,
but that's not why Lindsay hung back with Carl. Like,
Lindsay wanted to go out in that particular.
Lindsay was blacked out half the summer. Like, this was not like Lindsay living a sober life and Danielle being like, you're not fun anymore. I think also a lot of it happened off. Like, if you believe Danielle, and you could totally validly not believe Danielle, but I think a lot of it is as told to us by Danielle of, she's not checked in with me. She knows her 2-year relationship falling apart. Lindsay has no idea about that. She's never even like asked how she is. Like, I think Danielle, my sense of their relationship is, and I think everyone has friendships like this in certain levels. Lindsay is a great friend when you don't need anything from her. And this is the first summer that Danielle was like going through a hard time and maybe needed her. And she gave her nothing. And I don't think it was maybe a change. And maybe, Brian, that's what you're saying. Like, Lindsay's behavior wasn't like catastrophically bad, but maybe Danielle just realized like, wow, I've really been getting nothing from this over the last 6 years. And now I need her and she's not even showing up for me.
Wow, that cuts deep.
I mean, look, that's fair. But also, like, would you be there for someone who's so actively like against your relationship? Like, it just seemed like she was like always talking like being like, you guys are doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. So like, why would you then be like, all right, you think I'm doing horrible. It's like, what's going on with you? Like, I just think that would.
But that's where I should
never ask that.
I think that's the goodwill. Like, you kind of need, I don't think Lindsay has the emotional intelligence or the like empathy to do this, but I think that's where it's like, Danielle, what's really going on here? Like, I know you love me. You're my best friend. What is going on? Like, what is this relationship? Like, anytime Danielle tried to have a constructive conversation, Lindsay would be like, okay, I'll do a better job calling you, I guess. Like, it didn't feel like she was ever trying to hear Danielle. Mm. And to your point, Brian, I agree. Danielle was bad this season with that. But I don't know. I have candid conversations with my friends. Look at the conversations Paige had with Amanda about Kyle and the things that like Amanda, that Paige expressed about Amanda's relationship with Kyle. Like that is sort of a normal thing to raise to your girlies of like, are you good with this? And then I think it transitioned to projection, massive projections, Nicole, that like,
yes, a lot.
My own relationship is failing. You've completely abandoned me for this guy who you just started dating. Like I'm already losing you to him. Like that's where I think it was coming from.
And I think they could have, I still think it would have all potentially could have been salvageable after the season. I just think her behavior, I like her engagement. I just think that's like almost like, to me, that's like unforgivable. The way she was like just torching her at her own engagement party to like her friends and family to the point where her friends were like, what the hell's wrong with Danielle? Why is she doing like, I had to tell Lindsay about this the next day. Like if one of my close friends was like torching me at my own engagement party, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm like never going to talk to you again. Like what is wrong with you? Like the fact that they were already so estranged like that, I'd be like, all right, that's it. Like you're gone. Like I'm just
clip clips.
Yeah. Like, why would I bother dealing with you?
Brian, how many people did you tell about that you were proposing before you proposed?
So I did tell like all of her friends. I did.
All of her friends. Every single time.
I had a bunch like she had like friends from Chicago, so I wanted them all to like fly in for it and stuff like that.
Oh.
But that to me is the thing. I don't think that was right at all. Like I think she was so out of pocket. Like I can't say that enough. However, I think that was more Danielle's recognition that I thought this was, and I think you were like, she didn't apologize. You're right. Danielle has not apologized in a meaningful way at this hour. But
at this hour,
I think she viewed this as salvageable. Like she was like, we're in a rough spot. We're going to get past this. And Carl not telling her, like, it's like Sierra said, like, if you're like, I think every girl has, not every girl, if you have a rough spot with a friend that you think you're going to get through, missing a once in a lifetime moment, like getting excited or helping prepare for the engagement party, the fact that Kyle knew and was like corralling the house, you've now missed that. I think that was recognition to Danielle of like, oh shit, maybe we will not prepare this. And so she freaked out. Again, totally insane, out of pocket thing to do. Like, I can't justify that. But I still think that Danielle has done enough supporting of Lindsay's insanity and out of pocket shit on this show that it's at least warrants a conversation and like a level headed exchange and not Lindsay's cold, harsh.
That's fair.
Like you were already dead to me, girl. It's like, that is crazy.
I do think that's
Danielle. Okay. Well, she took a wine glass to the face for Lindsay. Yeah. Like, come on, she owes you something.
I just think Carl like soft launched. He soft launched the proposal to Danielle. And she screamed at a pillow and freaked out. And I was like, okay, well, I tried to like prep her for the engagement and she like bugged out. So why am I going to like tell her? And then what if Danielle freaks out on the day and like starts to fight with Lindsay on the day I'm going to propose to her? Like, I would be like, I don't trust her not to do that. So I'm just like not going to tell her.
It's not invalid. I'm not saying I don't understand where Carl was coming from. I mean, maybe if I'm Carl, I'm like, hey, Lindsay, when I eventually propose, do you still want me to tell Danielle? And then he could take like all responsibility off of me.
Right. It was like with Bo with Stassi, where he was like trying to like feed into like, do I invite Kristen to this? Do I invite Kristen to this? And then it was like, no, you don't, because they're not friends at that moment.
Maybe I'm also a prude, but I also just think it's a little weird to tell like this woman you used to sleep with that you are proposing to somebody else, to her best friend.
I personally think that's part of it. I still think it's a weird thing there.
I agree. I said this to somebody else, not on this podcast. I was like, that to me is part of my underlying feeling that Lindsay wanted to clip her this whole time and was just looking for a reason, because when you've slept with the groom, it's never the same, which is BS, because Danielle was with Carl first. And so if you were the second to arrive on the scene, if you snipe your best friend's ex, then you can't snipe your friend out of things as a consequence. But yes, I do think that is feeding into, I don't think that's Danielle's feeling. I don't believe Danielle has any interest or feeling for Carl, but I do think Lindsay and Carl act a type of way around Danielle.
This is so deep and nuanced. Like anyone that says Bravo is vapid, show them this. And the fact that this isn't even the biggest drama on the network right now, like, says so many things.
I thought Carl and Lindsay should make the jump to Vanderpump. I keep telling people they should move to LA.
Less Carl and Lindsay.
They have had enough.
They have each other. They're good. They don't need anything else.
She wants Real Housewives of New York.
She wants Housewives, yeah.
I love Paige saying, if you ever propose to me in front of these idiots, I will say no. Like that.
I'm such a Paige apologist. I'm such an Amanda apologist. I cannot help it. Whenever I read the Reddit threads that are like the bed bugs are like the worst people on earth, it makes, I just like seethe because usually I can see other people's perspectives, but I want to be like, I just watched season one 2 weeks ago when they were awful to Amanda, when Lindsay like actively was awful to Amanda. Like, do we not remember that?
Where
like,
are the Workuses? Get the Workuses back in the mix.
Oh my god.
I would rather not. I'm good.
What a time for Bravo. Crazy.
It's just been like truly a tough season. The back half of the season has just been like a tough watch. Also, the front half of the season has been a tough watch.
Both seasons have been a tough watch.
I also want to point out like Maya not wanting to have her biggest conversation that was bullshit of her entire.
She should be fired for that.
Fired.
He's not coming fired back. She's not coming back.
Fired. You don't get to like be like, oh, your mic's on. Like, she should have been fired at the party. Producer should have been stepped in and be like, no, you're fired. You're off the show. That was
she's been
ridiculous
evicted from the summer house.
Yeah. Frankly, she should have been fired last year. Like, I don't think she's ever. I like Maya. I would like to hang out with Maya in real life. I've never been not interested reality, in okay anything she's
but
done.
But go, girl.
The show.
Give us nothing. Yeah. Not a crumb.
Any other Bravo shows? We want to talk Teresa and Melissa. I don't
know. Well, do you want to talk about Real Housewives? Do you want to talk about Real Housewives from literally 10/11 years ago, because I am on season 2 and ooh, it's an uncomfy ride. I'll tell
I'm
you
ready
that
to drag
free
Adrian Maloof at any moment. So let me know.
Really, are you Maloof? Oh my god, I just watched that episode show and it was hurtful to me as a very superstitious person to see so many shoes on a table.
Trigger warning for this one, so
superstitions.
Okay, we'll get your mama on the line because I know will. She knows. Plain food, oh, you Sue, where you at, girl?
We need you more than ever. Do out the back call for her.
You can DM me directly about season 2 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, if you talk about bad about Lisa, she'll block you, so just be prepared for that.
Oh no,
we're all getting blocked today.
She's the shitster, but I do appreciate where she's coming from.
Now she's real as hell.
Alrighty.
That's it. That's all I've got.
All right.
Let's I won't be here next up week, everyone, but enjoy, and I'll be coming in hot.
Can you
final part? Mm-hmm.
Can you at least make notes for next week?
So I don't want to show anybody without notes. I'll be taking notes next season too.
Send in some questions to the thread. You can do so.
Oh, that I can do.
You can do that.
Thank God.
This is on the RHP Bravo feed. You can subscribe at bravoswebsite.com/Bravo. You can follow me on Twitter at @CohenBryan_. Leave us a review of the Bravo feed. Bump up this. Bump up the big deck energy. There's a couple housewife shows on there. Do all that stuff. Allie, where can people follow you?
Follow me at @LashTweets. No challenge right now. No. You can check out New Girl Old Guy. We will be dropping an episode next week. Akiva and I quietly did not mention anything to each other this week, so we did not have an episode. I think we mutually ghosted each other. But you can check that out at, I don't know, Google New Girl Old Guy, because there's like a new Spotify link and whatever. And I didn't say this on the top of the show, but if you're seeing this, no, you didn't, because once again, this is not video, and this time it's my fault. Last one probably also my fault. This time, for sure, my fault.
What about you, Haley?
I am wearing jeans today, which is unlike me. I'm not
crazy,
like crazy girly. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. You can check out coverage of Bravo's Top Chef. Although I don't think, if I'm being sneaky, I don't think that's in the Bravo feed, and I'm feeling a little excluded. But I'm just saying that
drama.
And I'm gonna DM somebody. No, I'm not gonna DM anybody. What am I talking about?
You are the OG Bravo podcast.
That's true.
Literally.
You're the OG non-Rob podcast, though.
Well, yeah, but that's well spoken about. But I think Top Chef was the first Bravo.
It was, but I wasn't on the original iteration of that panel. If you want to see everything I am reading, you can check out my Bookstagram account at The Strong Library. I just recently read The Happy Place by Emily Henry, so that review will be coming soon. Sneak peek to my review. I was reading it on the couch and sobbing, and my husband Ethan came over to me and said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, this book. And he said, what's happening? So I tried to explain it, but I couldn't because I was sobbing too hard.
Real.
That's a review.
That wasn't about Joe and Tom, that book. It's called The Happy Place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Misunderstood. And I think that's it. You know where to find me. There's truly hundreds of hours of my voice on the internet if you really want
thousands,
to hear more.
Probably. Thousands.
That's unsettling, but thank you.
What about you, Nicole?
I'm everywhere at Behind the Secret. I'm on Silent Podcasts, on the Isaiah and Nicole Show, also talking about reality TV over there. It'll be fun. And until next week, I'll be crying because Allie won't be here.
As we all will be. But until next week, for part two of the reunion, have a good one.